Fast Forward Productions, The Women Are Speaking. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the One Broke Actress Podcast, an honest account of actor life plus a few lessons I learn in the process. I am your host, Sam Valentine, and today you have a solo episode. I have not given you a State of the Union in a bit, so I thought we could kind of catch up, and then we're going to do an AMA. I posted an Ask Me Anything box on Instagram, and we're going to go through it together. If you're watching this on YouTube, I have my hair and makeup done by Kate Hollinshed, who's my favorite hair and makeup artist, and I'm going to a commercial shoot after this. Not a booking, a commercial headshot session. And some of you are like, you just got headshots. I did. I just got new headshots and they were theatrical. They were very, very moody and specific and they were not at all commercial. So I talked to my commercial agent. She told me exactly what she wanted. And so I'm going to shoot those after this. In general, I will tell you guys at this point, I'm recording this episode very early. Today is February 19th. It's super rainy outside. It's a whole vibe. The industry has been very slow for myself personally this year. I have not seen a lot in terms of theatrical. Commercials even been slow. And I'm fine with it right now. Cut to this episode airs in a few months and I'm like, guys, this is the business we're in. It's going to fluctuate like this. And if you feel like you're the only person feeling it, you're not. I promise you, wherever you're at right now, we have to take out this like solo YOLO sadness portion and know that you are in a community, whether you know it or not, of people who are feeling this business just like you are. Someone else feels like you do. It just looks like, due to algorithms and bias and the hedonic treadmill, which if you don't know about any of those things, they're a Google away. You just feel like you're the only person having a hard time sometimes. Promise you it's not true. Promise you there's more happening, gonna happen later down the line. Maybe just not right now. And that is how I get through quiet times. I think the past couple of years have been quiet, quote unquote. In fact, I'm really looking toward the podcast where I tell you guys, man, I've been so slammed with auditions. I can't wait to tell you that. I update my Patreon and bonus podcasters typically off the top of every podcast, which if you guys have not gotten in on the Apple bonus podcast / Patreon podcast, they're the same thing in both places. Go check them out. There's 65, 68 episodes, something like that in there now. They are all very poignant. They're very specific. And I open up quite a bit in those. And I think you would all enjoy them a lot. It's $4 a month, no matter where you get them. You can join on Patreon, you can join on Apple. I'm very, very, very proud of those episodes. If you are interested in more of like personal me stuff, I also do these Q&A sessions in every single episode. So there is a lot of random topics we cover. And it's just, there's some really good stuff in there. There's actually an episode recently where Elizabeth Boykevich, who is a casting director who was on the podcast, reviewed my retape of an audition for her together live. And she goes over what she would have liked to see me do differently, the first tape versus the second tape. So much good nuggets in there. I think you guys would really enjoy it. So please go check it out. It would mean a great deal to me. But in terms of acting, guys, it's like we're chilling. All right, we're chilling. I have two commercials that are airing at this moment in time. Knock on wood. When this podcast is going, I hope they're still airing. I have a secret deodorant one that I think is probably wrapping up and a cat litter for tidy cats. And I'm super proud of it. I have income coming in from those, which is thrilling. I don't ever expect it to come in. So when it does, I drop it immediately into a savings account and things are good. We moved into a new house, which I talked about a little bit on Instagram. You know, the dogs are healthy. I'm healthy. Caleb's healthy. Everyone's like really great, apart from not getting auditions. If that's the biggest concern, we're doing great, guys. We are doing so great. Like people are dying, Kim. Okay. There are wars. There's like real crazy shit going on. If you not getting seen by your favorite casting office is your biggest complaint, like we're doing very, very well. I just need to like touch on that. We're going to be great, you guys. We're all going to make it through this. Your feelings are valid. Go back and listen to the Tablespoon of Hope episode. I have it in the show notes for you. I think now would be a great time to revisit that one. But after standing on my soapbox and giving you a live journal for a minute, let's talk a little bit about the questions you guys asked me. I put a box on Instagram stories and I said, what do you guys want to know? And I said, bonus points if it's not about acting, because I speak to you guys on the podcast. The YouTube is often popping, you know, Instagram every single day and my privates with actors. And then there's also TM where we're talking to actors every day. And we just finished the headshot class. And it's like, I talk about this stuff all the time. So I just assume that you guys know every single thing about acting. So I'm like, let's also talk about other things. Some of you went that direction, some of you didn't. And so let's get into it. Let's just go one by one. I'm going to start at the bottom and let's see how many of these I can do in one podcast. Let's see. Okay. If you weren't an actor, what job do you think you'd be doing? I would absolutely be a dog trainer or a chef. I am not really organized enough to be a chef, but I do think that I could be a great dog trainer and also like a professional house setter. I would like that job anyway. But yeah, I think that that's absolutely what I would be doing. I want to say how to promote yourself as an artist in this industry. What do you want to promote yourself as is my first question. What do you want to focus on? If you are doing comedy, then you should be sharing comedy into the ether. It doesn't mean you have to be on social media, but are you doing open mic nights? Are you in an improv group? Are you sharing your funny with the world? Are you at least active on Twitter or X or whatever? Like that's where people write a lot of funny stuff. I don't know. I think it depends on how you want to see yourself. In terms of promoting yourself, do you mean like just getting seen by casting? That's a totally different question, right? So who are your reps? What are your materials like? What do they see you as? Do you guys have the same vision for your future? I personally have gone to social media, obviously. Hi, you're listening to this podcast or watching it on YouTube, as a place to share myself because I had a lot of questions and being very curious is a part of my personality. So that ended up being a way I accidentally promoted myself, but that was never the purpose. And I think if you go in following something that actually makes you happy and is true to you, the quote unquote promotional side follows. And you just get better at it as you go. What do you do when you start to feel impatient about the pace of things, for example, your career? I'm impatient every single day. But the older I get, the easier it's gotten. I feel like I check myself a lot in terms of what is going right. You heard at the top of the podcast where I said, actually, I'm healthy. My dogs are good. I have income. I feel like I won the lottery. So the impatience to me comes in like a short-sighted burst. It's either me comparing myself to someone else and being like, I want that. Or it's me seeing like a very short-sighted point of success and not longevity. And the more I focus on longevity and pouring myself into my businesses and my content and my work and those around me, I don't feel as impatient for acting to go off because I think it really comes into how you view things. So for example, today I had to get up super, super early in order to get my training in and take care of my dogs in the rain and then get to North Hollywood to get my hair and makeup done and then come back home for work meetings and get my content filmed and then go take a commercial shoot. And then I have more work to do after I get home. So I could see that as, oh my God, it's nonstop and none of it's even auditions. I'm not even getting auditions right now. It's just another headshot session to cross my fingers and hope and like just do my day job in between. Or I could tell you that I got to get up this morning with my husband and go outside to work at my gym that's in my backyard. I got to drive my car that was able to make it in a flood of rain to the valley to live my fucking dream, to pay a hair and makeup artist to get me ready for a shoot. I went through a Starbucks drive-through to give myself a little pick-me-up because I can afford a $5 coffee, which is a goddamn American dream, ladies and gentlemen. And then I was able to get home and work on my side businesses that I love. And now I'm talking about it on a podcast. And in some capacity, this is good for my career. And then I'm going to go take a photo shoot and enjoy myself, come home and speak with the people I get to pay to work with me and for me. And then I get to eat dinner in my house that has groceries. So you can pick how you want to see it. I pick to enjoy every moment for now, today. Not every day is like this. Not every day is this easy, but you get to pick. And this is how I pick to see it. Okay, next question. Do you have suggestions on day jobs that are flexible, don't cause burnout, and pay well? Yes. Things that will take you away from acting for a moment will probably pay you more money is the hard truth of it. There is very little flexible side jobs that don't involve some sort of skill or specialty that are going to pay you a larger amount. So what I mean by that is being a tutor, being a lifeguard or a physical trainer or something with a more specialized context to it. That is often going to pay better. But that means you have to be willing to take that time to work on that thing and not just be 100% acting all the time. I think it's worth it. Personally, I would tell you to do that any damn day of the week because this career is long and you should be financially supporting yourself in the process, and having a job that makes you not want to pull your hair out every single day is very, very, very important. I would also look into specializing in things like online customer service and working from home, because even if a job is not 100% your favorite, sometimes doing it from home can make you a little bit happier. I also really enjoy working with and for other creatives. So if there's something in that business that could add a creative pop for you, I would look into something like that. Like I hate it sometimes, but I do love social media. And if I didn't have the platforms I did and the businesses I did, I would probably work in someone else's social media to give me a hit of creativity. I do that for podcasts in my company all the time. I love working on other people's podcasts because it opens up creative channels in my brain that I wouldn't think about staying so focused on acting all day long. So think outside the box and consider what you could give a little bit of extra time to in order to up your value. Okay. Wow. I've only made it through 4 questions. I am not good at this being fast. Okay. How do I get started in acting? Please give me any and all tips. Listen to this podcast. Go to my YouTube and collect all of the videos you can. Start following people like myself, Gabrielle Binlaus, Erica Bream, Beth Stein Agency on Instagram. Start your actor friend, also great. Start following people and start training in your acting career. And as you're training, start to surround yourself with an actor community so you can start to learn from them as well. But like, all I do is put out free content, girl. You got a ton at your fingertips. Okay, next question. Did you mention you did stunt work? Is it terrifying or like a workout class? So I have not actually done stunt work. I took a stunt training for actors class at JAM, Joining All Movement Gym in Sherman Oaks, like Encino, last year. And it was great. I almost took it again this year. I wasn't able to. It's not actually stunt work. So they don't put you in precarious situations. It's like learning to sell a punch, learning to sell a kick, learning to sell a move in a fight, but not actually performing a stunt. You need to be a very certified person in order to start actually doing stunts. So you can still like learn the ins and outs. That way your stunt double can come in, finish the move, and you can pop back in and like have the correct facial expression and body movement so that the editor's life is a hell of a lot easier. So loved that class. How is your acting career going? It's just such a blunt question. It's so funny. I love it. I love it. I would love to hear more about your experiences. You know, I'm doing a YouTube video coming up soon that's like a moment by moment breakdown of a co-star I booked a little bit ago. And I think that'll be a fun way to showcase that. I also have a podcast I break down my Bosch booking on, and we'll link that below. That is also in the bonus podcast or Patreon podcast. So once again, hint, hint, check those out. I mean, how is it going? I love this job when I get to do it. I just don't get to do it as often as I'd like to. So I fill my time between doing things that make me happy, make me money, or give me experience in this job instead. So to me, I'm great because I don't see a moment. I don't feel like I'm about to quit, which is the scary place to be. But like, would I like to audition more often and have more opportunities? Yeah. But I don't know an actor alive who would tell you a different answer to that. I had to part ways with my management at the end of last year. So I'm currently potentially starting to take new manager meetings, maybe looking at other markets as well. I will share more stuff on that as it goes. So not right now, but yeah, I mean, I think it's great. I'm doing a voiceover job right now. So it's not like the way I think it would look, but I'm having a great time and I feel like I'm actively pursuing the work I want to do. And I have the classes lined up I'm taking later this year so I can be very structured and pinpointed in what I'm focusing on. And I'm really proud of that. I feel very good about the direction I'm moving. Favorite childhood activity? Do you still do it? Oh, this is such a good question. Can you tell I didn't read these before we started the podcast? As a kid, I loved to stir things and to climb things. I realize those are like nouns and not like full ideas, but I loved like stirring a bowl. Stupid. I love a simple task. I love cooking and stuff like that. I love creating something in the kitchen that other people get to enjoy. So I do think I do that quite a bit still. Like I'd love when we were making cookies and my mom would let me take the spoon and stir. And then probably I liked it also because that means I got to lick the spoon, which was the best. I didn't have an actual beater in my kitchen for the longest time because I just really enjoyed stirring things with a spoon. And then climbing stuff. God, I loved climbing trees and I did always ask before I climbed like the kids' play stuff. I'd be like, is it sanded? Because I was very, very, very scared of splinters. That was silly. I'd just be like, there'd be like a big wooden cool play structure. I'd be like, is it sanded? My mom would be like, yes, it's sanded. And if it was sanded, I would play on it. We would play at McDonald's play places a lot. They had some bomb McDonald's play places in the Midwest. We would go there and play for hours, like jumping up and down in the ball pits. And like, I love an obstacle course situation. Maybe that's why I like these high rocks races so much, is because it kind of feels like an adult obstacle course. That is interesting. That's a fun question. I'm glad you asked that. Strange pet peeve. The sound of my husband chewing in a silent room. The sound of anyone chewing in a quiet space does make me want to put a fork in their eye. But my husband, especially because he's my favorite person in the whole world, just ekes me in such a certain way. I think it's called misophonia, that I have like an issue with sound. I also don't like when there's multiple sounds going on. So if I'm having a conversation in the car, I don't also want the music up at the same time. I need to do one thing at a time. I get very overrun. I think that would count. I thought of another one. Cold ketchup. I don't like ketchup when it's very, very cold. I like it lukewarm. When restaurants leave it out on the table, I'm like, yep, that's the jam. And which I have a bone to pick with the restaurant Father's Office in Culver City. I think there's also one in Santa Monica. Great burger restaurant. They don't make ketchup. They don't have ketchup at their restaurant. They have fries, they have burgers, but they specifically choose to not have ketchup. And ketchup is one of the best sauces in the entire world. What's wrong with you? Why? Don't be so elitist. I'm going to bring my own ketchup next time I go to your restaurant. Father's Office. Great burger, though. Okay, navigating networking versus building friendships, especially in LA. I kind of think they're so similar. I'm at a place in my career where the people I am friends with happen to also be the people I quote unquote network with, but I think they're eerily similar. I think that you'll find in your career that networking means being a kind human and doing a good job at whatever that thing is. So maybe you're someone's bartender and you do a good job, you're networking with them. Maybe you're on a set with them and you do a good job. Yeah, you're doing your job. You're doing a good job. And eventually you'll know who the people are who you can email and ask for a little bit more if you need to one day. But I think that initially the goal should just be to like build friendships, acquaintance friendships too, because acquaintance feels like you met one time and friendship feels like you braid each other's hair. And I think there's just such a middle ground in between the two of them that we don't talk about often enough. That's like, you know each other pretty well, but you're not about to have like a sleepover, you know? So that is where I think that a lot of my LA quote unquote networking relationships would be. And to me, if you have my phone number, you are an important person. So I think you just have to navigate it like that to start. Would love a convo on exercise and feeling comfortable, feeling strong versus trying to be skinny. I have so much content on this. You can look it up from, there is a YouTube video where I go over one of my previous blogs about this. We will link that in the show notes for you. But I feel better than ever at my age and at my current strength level. And it takes a long time. And it also, being past the 20s helps quite a bit. And you know, it also helps getting your head right and getting around different people. Because I spent some time in earlier years around people who did feel like being thin was the thing. But to me, that has like a timeline on it. Whereas being strong feels more like me. And to be quite fucking honest, I really like food. And if you're just trying to be thin, you don't get a lot of food. But when you're being strong, you get quite a bit of food. And I just love it. So look up some of my other content on that. That's like a much broader issue. And if you guys want me to do a whole podcast on that, I would happily do one anytime. Someone just said server at a local pub. Cool. That's not a question, but thank you so much. Favorite band? Don't have one. I'm bad about music. Favorite book? Harry Potter, always. Second, the Arlo Finch series is fabulous. John August wrote them. They are like Harry Potter for the Boy Scouts, except better. Really, really good. Also, I'm reading Demon Copperhead right now. Great book. Dark, but really good. Favorite painter? Do people have favorite painter? Am I like a loser that I don't have a favorite painter? I don't really know painters. Van Gogh? Monet? I'm just listing painters. I don't have a favorite painter. I actually prefer photography to painting, personally. Who inspires you? Oh, great question that I wish I had an answer for. Okay, this is going to sound so cheesy. Oh, you guys aren't even going to believe me. I'm going to say it anyway. I am constantly inspired by seeing other actors on social media. Sometimes I'm triggered by it, but most of the time I am inspired by it because I have been proven time and time again in this business that I don't know shit. And by that, I mean, I will see someone coming up in this business and I'll think, that ain't it. I don't know if they have the chops. I don't know if they can take it. Or I'll think like, oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah, they're new. That's so cute. And then they'll book like a series regular and some big recurring guest star. And they're like up and away or like touring their show around the country or something. And I remind myself constantly like, you know, I don't know shit. None of us know shit. Everyone, there's no rules to this business. And watching people succeed who are within an arm's length of me, that is so inspiring because I'm like, oh, it's possible. Oh, they just started 3 years ago and they're killing it. It's possible. Like, that is so inspiring to me. And also, it feeds me a nice slice of humble pie to be like, girl, you do not judge people. You do not count them out. You never know. That's absolutely who inspires me, is you guys on social media and dropping into my DMs and all that stuff. It is so cheesy, but it inspires me a lot. What is the most underrated thing about LA? The most underrated thing about LA is the people. People want to hate on LA and say that nobody here is cool and the people suck and everyone just cares about how you look and whatever. And yeah, some people, but y'all are looking in the wrong spots because LA has the coolest people. I have met more people from different backgrounds, from different demographics, from different lifestyles, all the things in Los Angeles, because everyone just ends up here in some weird melting pot coincidence. And it is awesome. I would have never had the opportunity to meet most of these people if I would have stayed in the Midwest, because it's just not as accepting of different lifestyles, of different choices. And getting to meet someone who's had a completely different life experience than me, like, that is so rad. And them being open enough to just talk about it, even though we're just sitting next to each other at like a restaurant or something. I love people in LA. We also all collectively hate like LA people. You know what I'm saying? Those people aren't really LA. LA is a mishmash, y'all. It's a mess of things. I know New York wants to be the ultimate melting pot, and maybe it is, but LA is also that, just like in better weather. Yeah, there is the Beverly Hills side of things where it feels like very prestigious and very uppity and very like looks-based and things like that. But I think that's true everywhere. And I think every town has its own currency, whether it's the size of your house, the amount of plastic surgery you can afford, or that you can have a brownstone or something. I think LA's currency is just often seen as looks, but I actually think there's a lot more to it than that. I think we really value creativity out here. So the people, for sure, hands down. Okay, last question. Where does one find adult gymnastics in LA? Great, let's round it out with childhood stuff. Actually, this wraps around nicely to that question. The place that I went, once again, was called JAM. I went there for stunt training and I went there for gymnastics classes. Joining All Movement, it's in Encino. I have no affiliation with them. I have no discount code to give you. I have nothing, but they're cool people, good guys. I really enjoyed my time there. And that is something as a child I wanted to do for the person who asked me childhood stuff, but I didn't because I felt like I didn't belong. I was a little bit of a different kid and I felt like I wasn't allowed to be in gymnastics after age like 12, which is so stupid that we tell kids they have to be like, figure out what you're really good at by your time you're 13 or else it's too late to join it. That's some bullshit. Do whatever you want. 35 years old, taking gymnastics classes, you guys. This was a little bit of an unhinged podcast, but I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you like this, let me know. If you're like, Sam, we can do without these again, you can also let me know. I would love it if you liked it, if you left a 5-star review and wrote a little sentence or two. I see how many people listen to the podcast, and I would say about 1 out of every 12 of you has reviewed it. Would you please quickly write a review for this podcast? And if you want even more, if you're like, Sam, I love this stuff, I want to support you, join the bonus podcast or Patreon. That is how you absolutely support One Broke Actress. It is so useful. And there is so much content in there for you guys every other week. Thank you guys so much for listening. And I will talk to you next week.